the report of Gillian Siegel, the so-called anti-Semitism envoy. But I have to express some discomfort. This week, the UN has declared that Israel's starvation of Gaza is now worse than ever. But instead of discussing a plan to halt a genocide, our leaders are discussing a plan to halt criticism of a genocide. That is what the Special Envoy's plan to combat anti-Semitism is. It is an authoritarian document, straight out of Donald Trump's playbook. It calls for state power to be wielded against any university, charity, media outlet, or indeed any individual that runs afoul of the discredited IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. A definition disowned even by its own lead author for how it has been weaponized against any and all criticism of Israel and Zionism. We, the Jewish Council, reject the Special Envoy's plan. The Jewish Council rejects the concept of a special envoy itself. Anti-Semitism is real, just as many forms of racism and bigotry are real. And it does no movement any benefit to pretend otherwise. But we reject the exceptionalization of anti-Semitism as a bigotry separate from all others. We reject it because only by challenging all forms of bigotry in solidarity with each other, will we ever address the form that targets Jews. We reject it because we know, far from mitigating anti-Semitism, Orwellian proposals like the envoy's plan will likely inflame anti-Semitism and encourage the false idea that Jews have some special, sinister privileges and protections. We reject it because if any people can be exceptionalized for protection, they can be exceptionalized for oppression. Equality, dignity, and safety for all is the only thing that will protect us or any minority, because this is the only thing in the long run that ever has. But I want to cease humoring this plan, because it was never about fighting anti-Semitism. The envoy is not an expert in fighting extremism. She is an expert in fighting for extremism. She is unapologetically a career lobbyist for Israel. We are expected to be lectured on hatred by someone who called Gazans barbarians, who called for protests like this one to be banned, who opposed even temporary ceasefires in Gaza, and who backs Trump's plan to expel all of its population. She even has nice things to say about Elon Musk. Are we really supposed to take seriously a plan to make our universities safe from hate from someone who is comfortable with the destruction of every single university in Gaza? A plan to protect our places of worship from someone comfortable with the bombing of Gaza's churches and mosques? A plan to promote Holocaust education from someone who supports a government that is, as we speak, planning a concentration camp in Rafah? This was never about fighting anti-Semitism. It was never about protecting my community. It was about using my community as a human shield for Israel, of conscripting our identity, our fear, our trauma, our fear as a weapon to be wielded on anyone who resists, including Jews. Zionism has built a hell in Palestine, a hell that is swallowing up Israel and wants to drag every Jew around the world down with it. This Jew joins thousands of other Jews who says no more, who stand on a religious tradition that values the sanctity of human life above almost everything else, that calls for the liberation for all of God's children, who lives by the words of Marek Elderman, the anti-Zionist leader of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, who said to be a Jew means to be always with the oppressed and never with the oppressor. But why this plan now? It is because the Zionist lobby is losing and they know it. Be it at the ballot box or in the courtroom or in the newsroom, it is failing, it is panicking, it is desperate. Once upon a time, the lobby thought it could make the world love a settler colonial state. No longer. And if they can't protect Israel's reputation, they have to try and destroy all of ours. So I want to say this to Julian Siegel and all the other pro-Israel lobbyists. We are not afraid of you. The Jewish Council of Australia is not afraid of you. The Palestine Solidarity Movement is not afraid of you. Nor are the Council for Civil Liberties, MIA, Amnesty International, Labour, Friends of Palestine, the Greens, and many others who have rejected the extremism in this plan. This was never about fighting anti-Semitism, because Zionism cannot live without anti-Semitism. It is an ideology that lives through fear. The fear of those it oppresses in Palestine and those it vilifies here, but also the fear it demands and fans in we, the diaspora Jews, who are told that this isn't really our home, that our real home is in some walled settlement in the West Bank. They want us to feel afraid of our Muslim and Arab brothers and cousins and sisters, and they afraid of us, because the thing they fear most is what I see before me. Jews, Palestinians, and people of conscience, marching together in the name of equality and liberation for all, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free!
Many years. Make them feel welcome.
If you sing the little refrain of this next song with us, and if you were in the UK, you could go to prison for 14 years, because this song violates the UK Terrorism Act of 2000, Section 12, now that the new law against Palestine Action has been passed by the Parliament, 350 votes to 26. So the chorus at the end, the refrain, let's practice breaking UK law together here, okay? It goes, I support Palestine Action, I oppose genocide. I support Palestine Action, I oppose genocide. I support Palestine Action, I oppose genocide. So if you don't want to break UK law, just stay quiet. And if you do, then sing with us. Since long before this moment, but especially since then, the Western world's governments have supported the killing of children by Israeli soldiers without fail every day, gunning them down with weapons made in the UK. Palestine Action, formed to try to end these arms sales that the courts could not defend. The courts could not defend them, so the Parliament became the vehicle to support the bombing of the tents, which needs to be supported. So says the British state, tied from 26 MPs who failed to conflate supporting terrorism with opposing Israeli crimes by those who think we're living in some very scary times, where it is now against the law to express sympathy with those who would destroy corporate property. Illegal to say with eyes open wide, I support Palestine Action, I oppose genocide. International law, along with UK law as well, forbids such weapon sales to countries like Israel. That is, countries that are committing crimes of war are not allowed to import, no access to the store. But in London and Berlin, they just look the other way at these inconvenient laws. There's a new one today, solidarity imprisoned and vilified if you support Palestine Action and oppose genocide. As we bear witness to this constant slaughter, depriving Gaza of food and water, bombing children day and night, where body parts strewn are an hourly sight. The authorities take aim and then crack down on those who dare dissent in London town, who must stand up, not stand aside, who support Palestine action and oppose genocide. Or will we disappear? Have a Spartacus moment or a time of fear? Back down and go home, or stand with humanity, support the war machine, or support sanity. We'll see what comes next in the story of the descent of Keir Starmer and his kindercidal government. We'll see who's willing to shout with pride, I support Palestine action, I oppose genocide. I support Palestine action, I oppose genocide. I support Palestine action. I oppose genocide.
The convergence on Canberra. So nationally, activists will be meeting at Canberra to protest the genocide in line with the very first sitting week of the new Labor government. Still survived the ongoing genocide in Gaza. And he's still living there. He shared this message with us yesterday. These are the most difficult days of the starvation in the Gaza Strip and the most devastating for the citizens. Indeed, without any exaggeration or distortion, citizens are living in a real famine. There is no aid, goods are scarce, and prices are astronomical, even for those with money who cannot afford them. Citizens are exhausted by war and displacement and have no money. Commission rates for withdrawing money are 45%. Many people told me that they and their children have not eaten bread or any other food for several days. Bread is the main and only meal on the table here. Despite claims that various types of aid have entered since Netanyahu announced its entry about a month ago, American and Israeli companies distributing food in dangerous locations, and this has led to the death of 798 civilians, according to a recent UN report. However, we have warned that all of this aid is merely misleading media propaganda aimed at silencing international criticism and covering up the military genocide being perpetuated by the occupation. However, in reality, this aid does not reach more than 80% of citizens, for several reasons related to the scarcity of aid itself, theft and looting on the road or from warehouses, and poor organisation and distribution. In practice, citizens have been besieged and starving since the 2nd of March, the first day the occupation closed the crossings up until now. That is for 131 consecutive days. Nothing new has entered their homes. This is in addition to their complete deprivation of all type of meat products, dairy, vegetables and fruits. Aid is limited to canned goods, dried legumes, and starchy foods such as rice and pasta. This is in addition to the deprivation of medical treatment, which has caused the deaths of thousands. This is a message to those concerned. Citizens in the Gaza Strip are suffering from the most severe forms of starvation, torture, and the deprivation of their basic rights, especially in recent days. All the talk about allowing aid into the Strip is not reaching those who deserve it, who are paying their lives and health as a high price for a false propaganda promoted by those who profit from preventing food from reaching the needy and hungry in Gaza. This is obviously the lives that a lot of people in Gaza are currently living, and as we come here in March every week, I also ask that everyone pray for everyone in Gaza and hope that they reach safety and security soon.